This is the Arise Ministries Collective podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage the body of Christ in biblical truth and understanding. We believe that when women have an authentic and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, truly know God's word, and are dependent on the Holy Spirit, they become powerful and influential vessels for the kingdom. I'm your host, Lisa Da Silva, and today we're beginning a month-long series on mental health with therapist Marnie Alfson. Our goal in this series of podcasts and articles throughout the month of October is to shed light on things sometimes we, as followers of Christ, don't feel like we can talk about. And Marnie, a licensed trauma therapist, is helping us do that. So thank you, Marnie.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you here. And you and I have been friends for many years.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about mental health.
A lot.
For many years. And so we set about to do this together because we both have a passion for women to live in freedom.
Yeah.
We want them to know that it's okay to talk about things that often have a stigma attached to them. Mm-hmm. And that when you feel like you are the only one who has these things racing through your head, and then to realize that you're not, that normalizes the conversation.
I'm so excited about this.
Me too. And so I came to you, I'm going to say a couple of months ago, to formally ask if you would oversee the month of October for Arise.
Yeah, it was a few months ago.
Yeah, and we've been walking through this journey together.
Mm-hmm.
And today our focus is on understanding what trauma is and how it impacts our story.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this.
And this is what you do for work. You are a licensed therapist dealing with trauma. And so a question that I have for you, just to start this right out of the gate, I hear the word trauma or PTSD a lot. So can you help me and our listeners understand what this is?
Yeah, definitely, because there's a lot of different feelings and thinking around that. But when you hear that, most people, when they think of PTSD, what do they think of? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I think of a soldier coming back from war.
Yeah, that's a typical one. So a soldier or someone who's been sexually abused. But we hear these stories, right, if we use the soldier, of them experiencing war and then not being able to handle their everyday life when they get back. So especially if they live in Clark County and we have fireworks on the 4th of July.
I don't love those.
I don't either. But if you are a war vet who was in Afghanistan and had things blowing up around you and you saw your buddy die, when you hear those fireworks, you're right back in that spot, right? You're right back to that war zone. And it's as if they were transported in time back to that moment. So that's kind of a really short picture of what PTSD is.
So PTSD, let's walk that out. That is post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yep. Or we also use trauma, right? So this tells us that trauma is unresolved. So you could interchange, for this, we're going to interchange trauma or PTSD.
Okay.
So the best definition of trauma that I've heard is from this therapist and author, Dr. Bonnie Badenoch. And she says, and I'm going to read this just to make sure I have it right. Trauma is any experience of fear or pain that doesn't have the support it needs to be digested and integrated into the flow of our developing brain and body. Isn't that so beautiful?
That is good. And I'm just going to interrupt here to say we will put that on our website so that people can refer to that.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. It's the experience of fear or pain that doesn't have the support it needs to be digested and integrated into the flow of our developing brain and body. And it so coincides with the Lord calling us to live with our heart, soul, and mind with Him. But if we have trauma, we're not able to do it. There's a break because the trauma, we need to take the time to heal it.
So we could love the Lord with our heart and soul, but a trauma is somehow breaking that mind capacity or the heart capacity too?
The whole capacity.
The whole capacity.
Yeah. Trauma affects the heart, soul, mind, and even body, right? So if you spent any time around any of this stuff, you've heard of that book, The Body Keeps the Score. And it's a great book. And he does a fantastic job of expressing how our body remembers. So we have an implicit memory and an explicit memory. Explicit memory is something that you could recall right away. So if I asked you, what did you have for dinner last night? I'm guessing you'd be able to tell me.
Could I? Let me just think.
Okay.
Today is Monday.
Yeah.
Last night I was out for dinner and I had... Is this trauma? Maybe I have like... I know where I was. I was at a hockey game. Okay. I did not have dinner.
Well, then
I had a bag
go.
Of popcorn. Okay.
But you have an explicit memory of that.
I do.
Now, let's say I'm talking to somebody who had a trauma experience when they were a baby. Maybe they fell into a pool and had to be revived. They're not going to remember that, but their body will. And so then here they are, now 8 years old, at their friend's birthday party, and it's a pool party, and they are crying in the corner. That's
because
a response.
Because of the implicit trauma. The implicit memory.
Yep. So that's a response of trauma not integrating into our brain and body.
So I think there are a lot of people that walk around not realizing, like that child in the pool that you just described, that they've experienced some sort of trauma in their lives. We typically, or I typically, think of trauma as something extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we in the field talk about trauma kind of broken into two forms, right? We have, we call it big T trauma and little T trauma. So big T trauma are the experience or events that are overwhelm our ability to cope.
Mm.
Kind of what you just said. So someone, imagine someone who lived through a hurricane, right? The South, the Bahamas, they're experiencing a big T trauma right now. It was something they couldn't control. It happened to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Little T trauma is more of a chronic exposure to environments that can be overwhelming. So think of little T trauma as including non-life-threatening injuries, emotional abuse, death of a pet, bullying, or harassment. So think about what our kids are going through right now, right?
Especially with this rise of social media.
Yes. So they are experiencing what we would call a little T trauma.
Okay.
It's exposure to that pain or fear in a way that's not letting them integrate our body.
Could a little T trauma even be something like being left out of a party?
Absolutely.
Being excluded from something. Mm-hmm. So all of these things
can be traumatic. Yeah.
Okay.
Add them up over time. And what do you get? If you're constantly being left out of a party, or you're constantly not being remembered, what are you learning? What is that telling you?
That you're unworthy, that you're disliked. Right. Okay.
Right.
And so over time, those can become part of your...
They will show up in symptoms.
Symptoms.
Right. Yes.
So what would some of those symptoms look like? And are they different? Would the symptoms that I experience with little T trauma be the same as the symptoms I'm going to experience with big T trauma?
Symptoms are going to be pretty much the same. What we have to understand is that any trauma event, whether it's a little T or big T trauma, it has limited our abilities to cope. And we cope with what we call trauma responses.
Mm.
And so typically there's about four different clusters of trauma responses. And we can talk through those if you want.
Yeah, I would love that.
So when you think about the four clusters, they're broken out into arousal, intrusion, avoidance, which absolutely is the most common, and negative thoughts. So when we think of arousal, we think of someone who has insomnia or they're irritable, like their kids do something that really is kind of benign, and yet inside they're raging, right? Mm. And they don't know why they're raging. So that's going to be a symptom that happens. Difficulty concentrating. Hypervigilancy is one of my favorites.
What does that mean?
It's being exceptionally aware of everything around you. So typically men and women that have had some sort of an extreme abuse, whether it's sexual, emotional, physical, tend to express hypervigilancy. And so what that would look like is if you are someone who has experienced this and you go into a restaurant and sit down, I can bet without a doubt that you're going to sit in the back corner booth. You'd prefer a booth over a table.
So your back is facing a wall, or
back is facing a wall, your front is facing out, and you're sitting on the sides of the restaurant and not in the middle of the restaurant.
So that you can see everything that's
going on.
Right,
and you're doing this implicitly. This is a response to something that has happened to you.
That you may not even be aware of?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the last one with arousal is that exaggerated startle response. So, you know, when someone drops a dish or something and you see that person kind of go, you know, that's that, it's exaggerated. It's a real response because they have been startled in their past.
Yeah.
And so they're expressing that, but it doesn't match what's happening.
That's so interesting. Okay, mm-hmm. So arousal can look like insomnia, irritability, difficulty concentrating, hypervigilance, exaggerated startle.
Yeah.
And then what are some of the other ones?
So the next kind of category or cluster is intrusion. And we think of this intrusive recollections, traumatic nightmares, flashbacks. All of those are related of what we just talked about at the beginning with that soldier. He's going to have more of an intrusion response in his trauma response. And that's stimulus evoked psychological distress, really. And you see that in your body, the way that your body responds to that. The third one's kind of the biggest category, and really we all have some level of this, and that's avoidance. So avoidance is the effort to avoid any trauma-related thoughts or feelings, avoid any trauma-related activities, places, or people, diminished interest, right? Trauma-related memories, feeling detached or being estranged.
What does that mean, estranged?
So, estranged is just being apart in a big way. That's the
like
best
separated
way
from?
Like separated, okay. From, yeah. Restricted range of affect. So affect is our emotions, how we feel. And that sense of foreshortened future. So avoidance is a lot of things that we kind of naturally do, even if we don't have a lot of trauma, but mm-hmm. we do this. And honestly, as moms, we do this more than we realize because we try to control our environment. And when you become a mom, you're in charge of little humans. And so we try and control our environment and control what's happening to them in an effort sometimes to avoid any type of trauma-related thoughts or feelings or experiences. So if we were, as a child, we grew up in a household where our mom raged, we're either going to rage or we're going to be the sweetest mom ever. And both of those things have a problem to them.
Okay.
And that's
the most common one, avoidance.
Avoidance.
In our response to either little t or big T trauma.
Yeah.
And then the last one.
Last one is negative thoughts. And really what that is the inability to recall key features of the trauma. Or overly negative thoughts and assumptions about yourself or the world around you. Exaggerated blame of self or of other people for causing the trauma. Having an increased negative affect. So kind of looking at the world with a negative lens, right? Kind of everyone's out to get you. And then we've got the decreased interest in activities, feeling isolated, or difficulty experiencing positive affect. So someone who is struggling with their trauma, but they don't know they're struggling with their trauma, might be asking themselves, why am I so upset all the time? Why am I so angry all the time? Why am I so not wanting to engage all the time?
Can any of these, because I'm thinking about your list, and I think I can absolutely put myself in a category here, or I can think of people, and I think maybe all of us, all of our listeners, can put themselves into a category here if they know that they've experienced some sort of trauma. Do these ever overlap? Can you have some symptoms of arousal and some symptoms of avoidance?
Absolutely. These are not siloed into themselves. Okay. They all intermix and will show up differently for every person and what they experience.
So you and I, we've talked already about what is trauma in an effort to make this something that it's okay to talk about. Mm-hmm. It's okay to talk about. We're trying to normalize that right. word a little bit. And we talked about big T, little t trauma, some symptoms of both that we can look for in ourselves. Is it okay to also look for these symptoms in other people?
I wouldn't.
Marty's laughing. We really are just asking these questions off the cuff. We should not do that.
I don't think so. I think it's one of those things where we need to be self-discoverers before we discover someone else, right? It's a little bit like Matthew when he's like, you know, don't take the plank out of someone else's eye when you've got, you know, what is that?
Well, all I know is the one in our own eye is way bigger.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A sliver and a plank or dependent on a log. It can be a log in your own eye.
So I think of that scripture in relation to your own healing, that we really need to focus on ourselves and what our healing is before, or probably not at all if we look at someone else, because that gets a little bit tricky, right? Mm-hmm. That becomes a bit of a trap, because if I start to look at you, I'm not looking at myself.
Right. Yeah. No, I see that. That's hard sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, really hard, because when you... Either that, or when you see something in someone else that's, you know, inherently is something in you, you're just like, oh, darn it.
Oh, I have to deal with that now.
Yeah, if I see it in them.
That I've noticed it.
Right.
And I do want to segue into, okay, now what? So someone has experienced trauma. Someone is recognizing now that they have some of these symptoms.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here. Marnie and I talk about these things a lot. I thought that I had dealt with some trauma. And even in preparing for this today and preparing for our mental health month, I told Marnie before this that I some new trauma that I have suppressed and not dealt with has been coming up just as a very the process of going through this and seeing some things in myself. And as we went through these different categories, I saw myself in a category very, very boldly. I can see myself there, and I am at a point where I know I need to deal with this.
Yeah.
So as a Christian woman, Marnie, what should I do?
Well, I think there's a few options, but since this is what I do for life, I would say finding a therapist that you trust and knows how to handle what you're going through is going to be probably the most efficient, maybe even the most effective way to manage this. That doesn't, though, take away the fact that if you had a strong group of a support group, women around you that you could trust to share these things with. That's not to say you couldn't process it with them.
Okay.
But when we do that, we are asking those people to be something that maybe they don't know how to be. And so offering empathy without direction, we kind of tend to want to fix, right?
So you're saying I could talk about it with some trusted friends, but that there are also professionals and they have
the skills and tools to help walk you through this, which, like I said before, more efficiently than maybe friends. But I think friends are a great aspect that we have to have. We have to have that support.
And I've heard you in the past, too, because the truth is I call Marnie and talk about things. I sometimes abuse her therapist skill and ask her about things, even just things I see going on in the world, right? Marnie, how are people going to respond to this? Or I'll talk to her about my own issues. That's not to say I don't also talk to somebody else, professional about those. But I have heard you say many times, and I love this, and I think that this is a clincher for those of us who call ourselves daughters of Christ, followers of God. You say that it's a process of, I'm going to let you finish it. Yes.
Oh, it's a process of yes and.
Explain that.
We were talking a little bit before we started this about how to integrate. One of the things that just touches my heart is when I work with clients who come in and say, I've prayed about this. I've, cried over scripture for this.
Mm-hmm. I've read through the Psalms. That's my big thing. Yeah. Right? I've cried out like David,
and I'm still struggling with these symptoms. Mm-hmm. And it almost puts a little bit of a wedge in their relationship with God, which is not God's intention.
Like, why haven't you healed me?
Right.
I have asked that. I'm going to be completely vulnerable here.
Yeah.
I trust the Lord. Yeah. I have strong faith. Yeah. And there is something in my life that I'm now realizing I still have to deal with more, but that I have prayed through.
Mm-hmm.
I have meditated on scripture mm-hmm. about, and it's still not gone.
Right. And that, depending on your resiliency level, that could be debilitating. And that's one of the things that makes me sad, because it is yes and.
Yes, what and what?
Yes, go to God and seek out help. They can be integrated together. And kind of going back to, love the Lord with your whole heart, soul, and mind,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to do that. And sometimes we need help in how to do that. Or the other scripture we were talking about before is take captive your thoughts to the obedience of Christ.
Yes, yes. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how do we take those thoughts captive?
Right. God doesn't tell us how to do that. He instructs us to do that so that we can live with him, right? In accordance with him.
Right. And even, so Marty and we really have been talking about these things in advance. And you said that. You said, we take captive every thought to obey Christ, but we don't know how to do that. And I said, well, Philippians 4 verse 8 can be a great mm-hmm. example of that, that what we put into our bodies, into our minds, into our souls,
mm-hmm.
by very nature of this process of consumption, mm-hmm. can't that affect then how we take our thoughts captive? And I was referring to, Paul wrote this letter in 2 Corinthians to the church in Corinth, and then he is writing to the church in Philippi, Philippians 4 verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Think about these things. And you said, yes, and.
Right.
Why did you tell me yes, and?
I told you yes, and because trauma disrupts that ability. So if I were somebody that were sexually abused for, let's say, 10 years of my childhood, and I grow up to be an adult, and I find Christ, and I've accepted him, and I have that deep sense that I know I'm saved, I don't know how to think of all things pure and holy, because it was ripped from me when I was a child.
You don't even know what purity and holiness looks like.
Right. I can't focus on those things if I don't know what they are. So trauma is a disruption to being able to live in accordance with what God is calling us to do. And when we don't understand that that's what's the block, we blame all these other things. And that's the part that makes me so sad, because we blame that we don't pray enough, or we blame that we don't have faith enough, or that God's not listening. And he's listening. Sorry, I'm getting kind of emotional.
Mm.
He's listening. But it's yes and. Yes, we do this and we heal the trauma.
Mm.
We have to do our job to balance that out, right? To go back and integrate the flow of that trauma to our brain and body.
Mm. Recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. And then find freedom.
Yes.
In it and through it.
Yeah. Think of trauma in your brain as a filing cabinet. Okay? So at the end of every day, we go to sleep, and we have REM sleep, which is basically the brain's time to put everything filed away. But our brain can't do that with trauma experiences, so it just sort of floats around. Mm. And when we take the time to look at it, take it out, spend some time with it, feel the way that we need to feel about it, it's able to be filed away, which gives us that ability to do all the things we just talked about.
So yes, and you and I, even before we started, and I want to end with this, you and I were just talking about some names of God. And there's a name that you threw out there. What was that one?
Yahweh Rapha.
What does that mean?
The God who heals.
He is the God who heals.
He is the God who heals.
El Shaddai, our Lord God Almighty. Yahweh, our Lord Jehovah. I love Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And so with this yes and that you're telling us about, we depend absolutely, wholeheartedly, you're not diminishing at all, that we depend on this God who heals.
Absolutely.
Our great provider, our the God Most High. But we also do the hard work. I'm going to take out that button and say, and, right? Yes, and.
Yeah.
We also do the hard work because the Lord has also made us able-minded to go and talk to somebody and get the help that we need.
Yeah, to do his work, right?
And it's not shameful.
No, it takes a lot of courage, actually.
It takes a lot of courage.
Every client that comes in and sees me, I just admire their courage.
And so we hope today that you listening to this and listening and reading the following podcasts and articles, because we're going to have an article too that shows how do you find
a therapist.
A therapist. We hope that you will be able to venture into this journey of yes and find freedom without shame in becoming a whole daughter of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Arise Ministries Collective podcast. Our hope is that if something in this episode about trauma and how it impacts our story resonated with you, that you would begin to enter into the process of healing and restoration. What Marnie describes as yes and thinking may feel new or different for you. Dealing with trauma for a follower of Christ is not so much a black and white thing, all or nothing, one way or the other. Yes, we inquire of God. We lay our wounds and hurt at His feet, prayerfully seek Him, meditate on the truths of His Word, ask for healing, and surrender to His sovereignty. All of these things can be beautifully coupled with and. Seek help if you need to. Take the time to ask God to show you how yes and work together. Acknowledge that the and can also be part of our yes to God's prompting. When we decide to work on our stories and sift through unresolved trauma with a professional counselor or doctor, we also want to remind you that what might be highly distressing to one person may not cause the same response in someone else. We're all different. Some may have more resiliency, that capacity to handle stress or process trauma. And that's okay. We need to enter into our own story and watch others unfold with grace, mercy, empathy, and understanding. We hope you'll check out our website, ariseministriescollective.org, to find more resources and podcasts dealing with trauma and mental health throughout the month of October, as well as a resource that will help you find and choose a counselor in an upcoming segment. We pray you walk away from today's message feeling encouraged, that you know and understand yourself and how your story impacts your life a little better, and that you are not alone.